You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Much needed Friday, and it is Valentine's Day. It is February the 14th of 2025. The time is 8:07. Chilly start here in north central Wisconsin. Temperature of 3 degrees below zero. Overcast skies. Wind chill factor of 14 below. The quiet before the storm as we get some snow later on today into tonight and into early tomorrow. But we're very happy that you're with us for this Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to YouTube.com. Go to our YouTube page, the WXCO YouTube page, 98.9 WXCO. Be able to join us there. Be able to add your questions and your comments. Also, if you'd like to join the program, you can text us or call us. Same number, 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297. Love to have you be with us here on the program. Also, we would love to let you know what's on tap here this morning. Coming up at 8:21, we'll be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Get the details on this snowy Friday forecast. If you have those plans to take that special someone out later on this evening for a Valentine's Day dinner, we'll let you know how hairy it might be out there in terms of travel. But again, snow expected. How much? We'll find out with Brittany Merlot coming up at 8:21. Then after that, we'll be joined by our Civic Media sports reporter, Mike Clements, back from the Big Easy, back from New Orleans, where he spent the Super Bowl. Now, different feel, because once the NFL season comes to an end, we're so focused on the NFL from about August, when the preseason gets underway, right through Super Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, all that focus and all that hype, and then suddenly it's over, and you think to yourself, what do you do now? It's like a theater. It's like you put in all this effort and this hard work into doing something awesome, and then you're like, well, it's over. Okay, what do I do now? I have so much free time.
Yep, so what are we going to do now? We're going to talk about what happens in the world of sports now with Mike Clements coming up at 8:34 this morning. In hour number two, we'll be joined in studio by Paul Miklik, as he does on Fridays, talk about Wisconsin sports. That will be coming up in hour number two of the show. And also, of course, at the end of the show, we will have our daily history lesson, find out about some famous events that have occurred on this date in history, some celebrity birthdays, special events being acknowledged today, and of course, last thing we do, number for the day quiz. And
today's a big one.
It is a big one, because I don't recall you recently having back-to-back weeks where you had failing grades. You had a failing grade last week, didn't you?
I did. It was only a 1 out of 5.
Yeah, so.
1 out of 5 last week. However, I have been able to get out of the, not doing the 2 weeks of failing back to back. I was able to pull out, either passing or winning weeks. But today is a big day because if I get it right, I can secure a passing week. If I do not get it right, I secure a double week of failing grades. And I don't want that. I want to get a passing grade. It's like at least go into the weekend, feeling pretty good.
I think everybody agrees with that. They want you to have a passing grade. You're 1 for 4. You need today to get to above 33%. So we will wrap up the show with our number for the day quiz.
Wonder if the topic will have anything to do with Valentine's Day.
I have no idea at this point. I have not even looked. So we'll find that out a little bit later on in the program. Mm. Also, to start off the show, I'm going to say I was wrong about something yesterday. And when I'm wrong, I admit I am wrong. I know that a lot of the Magus think I'm wrong all the time. But no, I am wrong.
What were you wrong about?
Yesterday, when we were talking about restaurants we want to see come into our area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's somebody said, maybe it was you that said Chili's.
Yeah, that was me who said that.
And when you said Chili's, I said that former Packer Max McGee, who was with the Packers during the Lombardi era, during the 1960s, was one of the founders, one of the original owners of Chili's. I was wrong. Okay. And I did not notice a text that we had received yesterday until I was off the air. And Jules from the 715 corrected me. And I want to thank Jules for that. It was Chi-Chi's that Max McGee was involved with. Mm. And actually, Chi-Chi's went away a number of years ago. But I recall that Chi-Chi's had returned recently. That whoever had owned the name Chi-Chi's had sold it. And there were going to be some new Chi-Chi's coming out. And
why do I feel like I've heard that name before? It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was a Mexican restaurant chain that operated in the U.S. and Canada, but closed back in 2004. However, the brand is making a comeback in 2025. And so, again, it was founded back in 1975 by Marnell McDermott and Max McGee. It expanded to over 200 locations across the United States. It closed under lousy circumstances. And this was well after Max McGee had sold it. But it closed in 2004 after a hepatitis A outbreak linked to contaminated green onions.
Oh.
That's not a good way to go away. So then the last Chi-Chi's location closed in 2004. But 21 years later, this year, it is attempting to come back, hoping that the brand's popularity and nostalgia may help it overcome the challenges of stiff competition and being away for so long. So, again, thanks to Jules out there. When I say something incorrect, I will come back and say I was wrong. So,
That's very mature of you.
I tell you, I agree. Very mature. But
one of the biggest things in this world is to admit when you're wrong if you make a mistake, because that's a sign of maturity.
And actually, the person that is bringing back Chi-Chi's is Michael McDermott. He is the son of one of the original owners, Marnell McDermott. Of course, Max McGee was the second.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael McDermott was announced on December the 3rd. That the restaurant chain will relaunch in the U.S. this year. Hormel Foods, the current owner of the Chi-Chi's trademark, has allowed the use of Chi-Chi's name for the physical restaurant locations. So,
very cool.
The original Chi-Chi's opened in Richfield, Minnesota, which is a suburb of Minneapolis, in August of 1976. So, there you go.
Well, it's nice they're making a comeback.
Exactly right. So, late night last night, I had to go to Appleton for the Wausau West Warrior hockey game against Neenah, Hortonville, Menasha.
At least you didn't have to drive there.
I did not.
I went on with the team this time.
I went on with the team. I tried to do that for some of these longer trips. But, number one, the game started a little late.
Ooh.
And then we didn't even leave until a little before 10. So we got back to Marathon Park because that's where they have all their gear stowed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime around 11:30, and then got home around 11:45. And then I had a bowl of cereal, and then I went to bed. And then it took me a little time to fall asleep, and you're frustrated because I knew I had to wake up early.
Right.
And then my alarm went off this morning, and normally I don't wake up with my alarm. Usually I wake up before the alarm goes off. But then it went off this morning, and I thought, I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to go to work. But then I thought,
that's exactly what I was thinking as soon as my alarm went off.
But it's Friday. It is Valentine's Day. I'm going to suck it up, got into the shower, refreshed myself, and then came into work. So I have to admit this week, and I'm going to write about this a little bit in a blog posting later today. The roller coaster of emotions continues.
I agree.
This last month has been very difficult. But when I was on the bus yesterday going to Appleton with the Warriors hockey team, I was on my phone looking at some stuff online.
Okay.
And I came across a review for the 1969 movie, A Boy Named Charlie Brown. Do you remember that cartoon?
Mm.
That's the one where he went to the spelling bee.
Yeah.
And this review talked a little bit about the character of Charlie Brown. And it really lifted me up. And I already know what the title of my blog is going to be. We need Charlie Brown in 2025. And I'm going to write about that today. And I hope people later this afternoon check out WXCO.FM. Check out the blog page. Go to my page, Chad Holmes Show. And I'm going to have a blog. And I'm going to connect it to the feelings that I've had recently. And it really actually lifted me up a little bit. So I'm hoping that maybe I can add something that going into the weekend lifts us up as well. So look out for that later today at WXCO.FM. Coming up next, we're going to have somebody who's always up, Brittany Merlot, talking about the weather. The time is almost 8:19. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:22, Friday morning. Yes, finally Friday. I don't know, it's just again, as we go through the dog days of winter, it just feels like these weeks are dragging right along, ready for the weekend. However... he may be snowed in a little bit part of the weekend. Cold start here in north central Wisconsin, below zero. The good news is, in the last hour, we've gone up 7 degrees. We're now to 3 degrees below zero. wind chill factor of 14 below. But the person that truly has all the information that we need here on this Valentine's Day Friday about the weather for the weekend is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlo. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday. And
oh,
you know, every time you were saying those temperatures, I was getting the chills and I'm sitting here inside in the heat. And I was like, oh, it's brutal out there.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What is the temperature you keep it at when it gets really cold?
Oh, inside?
Yeah. Are you
72?
Probably a little.
And a space heater.
There you go. Oh, there you go. There you go.
What about you?
Oh, I try to keep it at 70. But
you try.
I fail often.
Yeah.
Because you just want it to be warm. You want to feel that warmth. And
I do. You know, what are those heavy blankets? Those are amazing.
I love them.
Oh my gosh. And you feel all cuddled up. That's perfect for tonight.
When's the last time we were above freezing? It's been a while, hasn't it? I should have asked you that question. But it's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
It has been. And, you know, I don't see that in the future either. We've got another cold snap behind this snow.
Yeah, so. It sounds like next week is going to be nippy.
Oh, Monday's going to be brutal. Those winds are going to be blowing. Cold. Temperatures are going to be into the single digits. And, I mean, it's going to be all like 20 to 30 below, basically, on Monday and into Tuesday. It's pretty terrible.
All right.
So.
Before we get there, we have to talk about the snow. Well, yesterday, we were talking about the fact that it is Valentine's Day. A lot of folks would love to go out. Favorite restaurant on this Friday evening. Perhaps you may want to rethink your plans, right?
Yeah, I would rethink it unless you are like an expert snow driver and you really take your time and you've got a winter weather emergency kit in your car, maybe some four-wheel drive. Maybe you'll be all right. But the rest of us with the cars that, you know, spin in the snow and all of that and slide around on the turns, I would stay in. I would definitely stay in. So we got this snow moving in and starting probably around 5 o'clock tonight. It'll definitely be snowing by 6. And I was looking at how much snow will we have on the ground by 9 o'clock, because that's usually when the dates end. You're driving home from dinner right around that hour. We're already looking at 1 to 2 inches on the ground. So already roads are going to be slick and slippery and sloppy and all that. And then by morning, we're looking at another 2 to 4 inches on the ground. So we could be waking up with anywhere from 3 to 5 inches out there. And then it keeps going into Saturday. We could still see another inch or two possible. So this could put our snow totals anywhere. Our models are saying anywhere from 3 to potentially 7 inches. So a good 4 to 7 inches is definitely likely from this evening through tomorrow afternoon. And temperatures will be nicer. We actually get to our high today, late tonight, of 19 degrees. And then tomorrow we sit in the upper 20s. So the snow is actually a nice thing because it's going to be warmer. It's going to be beautiful. And I think snow is kind of romantic if you're going to be staying home too.
Very true. And even if you can't go out to dinner for Valentine's Day, there's no better time to learn how to cook for your significant other.
Yes. Yes,
as long as you
exactly.
Don't accidentally. Well, yeah. Just be safe in there.
I'm actually thinking it's positive because I was thinking that we would have more snow earlier. It sounds like most of the snow, again, I mean, 1 to 2 inches, we've seen it. I mean, it doesn't take much to get slick out there, but actually having much of the snow be later is actually a little bit of good news.
I agree with you. So I'm glad that that's happening. But also those winds are going to get feisty tonight too. So it is going to cause a little bit of blowing and drifting and a little bit lower visibility too with that as well. So just be careful. Take your time. Don't rush. If you're late, blame the weather. Blame me.
By the way, where is the most snow going to be occurring during this storm in case anybody is planning on any sort of travel to start off their weekend?
Honestly, central Wisconsin. Oh. We're right on that edge of the most snow where we could get up to 10 inches by the time Saturday's said and done. And it's a little bit further south. So into Stevens Point area, kind of all central Wisconsin, to be honest with you. This is an interesting system because it's combining with another one, grabbing moisture and continuing longer than we thought it would.
But it is winter. I mean, February has finally been true winter in Wisconsin. I've been, you know, complaining about it the whole winter because it wasn't like winter. But boy, we have got a full dose of winter here in February, and it looks like it's going to stick around. What are the details for our weekend forecast?
I want a lot of people outside, snowmobiling, making snowmen, cross-country skiing, something, because we've got snow on the way. Winter weather advisory starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Snow moves in by 5. We're looking at a good 1 to 2 inches of snow by 9 o'clock tonight. Then another couple of inches overnight and a few more inches into Saturday would put our totals anywhere from 4 to 8 inches. And temperatures warming into those 20s for tomorrow, upper 20s actually, so feeling quite nice. A good day to get outside and enjoy the fresh snow. I know a lot of people out there are snowmobiling. And then the cold hits on Sunday. We fall to 15 degrees. A few flurries could fly with that cold front. And we crash to the single digits for highs on Monday and Tuesday. But the winds are going to be whipping, so it's going to be feeling well sub-zero.
Are you going to get out there and enjoy the new snow?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited. I can't wait until work is done this afternoon.
Well, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Bye, Brittany.
You too.
Valentine's
Day. Bye, guys.
That is our Brittany Merlot joining us as she does every weekday morning at 8:21. Right now here in Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, fair skies 3 degrees below zero. The wind chill factor is 14 below because of southeast winds at 5 miles per hour. The dew point is 9 below, relative humidity of 75%. The barometer 30.41 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Information update is coming up, and then we'll be joined by our Civic Media sports reporter. Find out what it was like in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Mike Clemens coming up here on 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can join us by giving us a call or a text, 715-382-9297. Don't call right now, but text us if you have any thoughts, but because we're on the line right now, as we are every Friday morning at this time, with one of the busiest guys around, our 98.9 WXCO and Civic Media sports reporter back from the Big Easy after Super Bowl 59, Mike Clemens. Mike, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, back just in time to shovel 8 inches.
I imagine that.
Literally got off the plane.
What was it like? I mean, I've heard stories during the coverage of the Super Bowl that there are people that when it's in New Orleans, they say it should be there every year. Is it a really great Super Bowl city?
Well, you know something? Except for, we get there a week before. We do a week's worth of broadcast. You go down on Saturday, and then Sunday you get first in line when credentials are issued. This was February 2nd, which also was my birthday. And so then I told our crew, and then there were some friends who were down there that are very successful, so they had their own motel room and all that. We rented an Airbnb to watch our costs and rent cars, and we actually rented over in Mississippi to save literally thousands of dollars, and then you get up and you go to work every day. So we drove in to get the credentials, and I said, can we please do this? This is my thing. Let's go to Cafe Du Monde and get the chicory coffee and the beignets, and that would be, this would be my treat. And by the way, for a table of six, everyone got their little wonderful plate of three of these hot, warm, right out of the fryer, French beignets piled with powdered sugar and chicory coffee, and the bill was, including tip, was like $60. Our buddy who had rented an SUV, he went and parked the car there in French Quarter. He came back about 20 minutes later. The parking was $55. So, just to get some donuts, man. That's why it's not for everybody. Bring your plastic.
Turning to the game itself, I said to a friend of mine, it reminded me back in the day, back when I was much, much younger, there was an era where, especially when the Broncos were playing the first three times, where the game would be over pretty quickly. I said, it reminded me back of the old days when it was just about the party. Because, I mean, it was a dominant performance by Philly, and the final score really doesn't indicate really how dominant it was.
Yeah, and that one, Washington over the Broncos.
You know, big up Niners over the Broncos. Giants over the Broncos.
Yeah. It was out of... So in terms of this game, you know, at halftime, I went to two or three of my buddies, and, you know, we watched a little bit of the Kendrick Lamar halftime, which apparently spiked at 133 million viewers at one point. Mm. Overall, the thing got 127 million, up 3% from last year's record-shattering viewership of the game. And I said, what do you think is going on? And they all said, Philly's defensive line. I go, right? Right? Yeah. I couldn't get it. You'd put the binoculars on this thing, Chad, and there was no stunts. Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, just had those four guys from Philly go straight on and manage to contain Pacheco and the Chiefs running game, contain Patrick Mahomes, but speed up the clock. And they did that every single down with four in the front. And when you got seven drop back, you know, Mahomes had nowhere to go with the football. Everything was covered. And that just really seemed to, you know, flip the script and change what everybody thought that, you know, the Chiefs would be able to do in that game. And they stuck to that. And Vic Fangio, you know, kept it simple. And I think he was 0 for 8 against Mahomes going into the game and, you know, finally got his win when it really counted.
And the thing about it as well, it kind of reminded me of when Tampa played the Chiefs and really got into the grill of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it seems as though he got nervous, and you don't see that very often. It felt as though he had that clock that really did pick up, and it forced some really bad throws.
That's a good point. That was that Tom Brady team. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, now that you say that, that had to have been the tape that Fangio and his staff watched and said, you know, how can we duplicate that kind of performance? And Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles, he gets to the podium after winning the Super Bowl and being there a second time, lost, you know, in 57 to Kansas City. And he said, this, you know, needs to make this point. Look at Jalen Hurts takes way too much criticism. And he proved himself today that he was reliable. He made the throws on time when he had to. And, you know, when you watch Hurts in person now, and I've seen him now three or four times, there's something that's, you know, it's not a natural throw. It's more like a textbook throw, like, okay, set feet, plant, throw. But the throws he made, those clutch throws downfield to A.J. Brown and to the other top receivers where you get these chunk plays, 30, 40 yards, he performed. He had time to throw, and he hit dimes, absolute dimes. And besides the fact that he's also a good running quarterback and a pretty good leader, too, quiet leadership, the guy came through and won them a Super Bowl, and he probably does need to get more accolades as a 100% all-around quarterback in the NFL.
Feels different when football ends, doesn't it?
Well, it does for me.
I was going to say, especially for you.
Yeah, because there's just really no, if you're doing it right, and I cover the Packers for our stations, it's 7 days a week. I mean, it just is. Your off day is Saturday, and every other week, you know, you're waiting in airports to, you know, to get to chase the team and get to the next game. But there's an adrenaline rush that hits, no doubt. And then when it's over, it's like, what am I supposed to do? Oh, wait, there's the Bucks game tonight. You know, so I better get down to the arena and cover that.
Real fast, of course, the draft, Green Bay coming up. How do you see that developing?
Well, I'm still, you know, they're still kind of hush-hush about some of the, and because security is constantly now in the NFL's concerns, we got a large dose of that all last week in New Orleans, exactly as to, you know, where this stage is going to be and where that's going to do. And I've got a little media office there where it's a workroom, but I got to, you know, lock the door, keep my equipment in there, that type of thing. And we're now shut off from that until training camp. Mm. So then, you know, you find out, well, they're actually going to remodel the Packers locker room. So that's part of the thing that's going on. And then they need your area and the new visitors. They've got a third visitors locker room. This is all going to become staging areas for the draft picks. the crew, the hosts, the other people that are part of this big TV show they call the NFL Draft. So they're using all that area now, and the, you know, they're literally, you know, tearing down walls and changing things around to get ready for that April 24th, you know, production they're going to put on with everybody coming in. So,
well, let's turn to some other sports news topics. NBA taking a little break now. We have the All-Star weekend coming up. A nice way for the Bucks to finish off. I mean, that was a nice win in Minneapolis against, again, a Minnesota team that's probably underperformed this year. But at the same time, no Giannis, no Dame. We saw some of the new guys. A great way to finish things off. Unfortunately, we won't see Giannis at the All-Star game. But, boy, I feel good that he's not, because obviously you want to make sure he's back when we get back to action.
Yeah, as you've pointed out, Giannis Antetokounmpo, it was that game 2 or 3 weeks ago where right before the start of the game, he came up and said, oh, I think I may have tweaked my calf muscle. So they had to sort of scramble that night to figure out how they're going to replace him. And turns out it was more than just a little tweak. I mean, it's significant. Left calf muscle, left leg strained calf muscle has kept him out of the last 6 games and will keep him, unfortunately, out of the All-Star game on Sunday night, because he wants to try and get better and be 100% when they start, you know, the final stretch of the regular season, starting next week, Thursday night. Here's a great story, though, is that Damian Lillard, I didn't know this, so he's a kid growing up in Oakland, and the All-Star game had come to the Oakland Arena that week. He's 9 years old, and his dad somehow scraped together enough money to get them the tickets to go to all the events at All-Star Week that week. And, you know, this kid knew then he wanted to be a basketball star someday. And so they got to all the different events, the different competitions, and the game itself with, like, Tim Duncan and Shaquille O'Neal there back in the day. This is 20 years ago, or 25 years ago. And now here he is going to his 9th All-Star game, representing the Bucks at 34 years old. He's going to participate in the 3-point shooting competition tomorrow night, and then the game on Sunday evening. And this means so much to him, because the game is being held in San Francisco, right across the bay from where he grew up. So he's got all these family and friends and people who watched him growing up, you know, back in the day in high school, that can now see him perform, you know, at the peak of his career. So it means a lot to Lillard that way.
Hey, tomorrow, if folks are done shoveling the snow by 12 noon, get in front of the TV. Badgers and Purdue, 16th-ranked Badgers, 7th-ranked Boilers, pretty big one in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and the Badgers program getting noticed because Jim Rome, who does the national sports talk show, did you know that Rome spends like his summers in Wisconsin?
Yes, I do. I sometimes see some of the social media pictures from up north.
Yeah, I think he's like, I think it's Eagle River.
Yep, Eagle River.
Get this place. And I've got, you know, a buddy over there that's in radio that talks about it. But and it's one of his kids went to UW-Madison, too, right? As a student there, I think. Anyway, Rome, you know, he got Greg Gardon, the head coach of the Badgers men's basketball team, on his national show yesterday and said, wow, you guys weren't even ranked, you know, at the start of the season last fall. And here you are, 16th in the nation and winning 3 out of 4 games in the Big Ten. And Greg's, you know, answer was pretty much, you know, the template that he's explained to the local media in Madison, and that is, we went into the year saying, how do we deal in the transfer portal era? And it's just really critical that we fill all the positions, and maybe we don't put 3 or 4 shooting guards on there because we think they're the best players or stars in that way. We need to have balance. We need to have balance. We need to have a couple of centers and a couple of strong forwards, and et cetera. And so that seems to have worked for them. And then these guys have just built their chemistry as the year has gone on. They've bought into the program. And now, you know, they're competing in the Big Ten. Tomorrow, though, like you say, big challenge because it's number 7 Purdue at West Lafayette, and the Boilermakers ranked 7th in the nation. So that'll be a real good test. Tip-off time at noon tomorrow.
And finally, on a cold morning here in central Wisconsin, it does warm the heart that there's baseball going on down in Maryvale. Brewers pitchers and catchers have reported. When you look at the crew, I have to say, I mean, Pat Murphy's going to have to be a magician. I don't know how you can argue that they haven't become a much worse team since we last saw them.
Pat Murphy, man, he continues to amaze me, and maybe that's why Craig Counsell had him as the quiet bench coach thing, because it might have been whispering in his ear. Murphy, to me, so far showed that he's a master motivator at you know, keeping guys engaged and accountable, but having fun at the same time. So you lose Willy Adames, you know, to New York, but how do you still keep, you know, things going? And so instead of just making it saying, oh, everyone's got to earn their jobs now in spring training, you know, or 0-0, we'll start from scratch, he walks into Freddy Peralta as he walks into the clubhouse on Wednesday, and we find this out yesterday, says, hey, you're starting on opening day. Mm. So right away, you know, you go to this guy. Basically what he's saying to Freddy Peralta is, I need you now to step up in this clubhouse, okay? You know, you're this is the prime of your career, and I need you and that fastball. And so now everybody else in there knows that they're going to be competing for those jobs at the number two, number three, number four position in the pitching rotation. And then they bring in guys like this Tyler Alexander from the Rays to replace Wade Miley, the lefty who signed with the Reds at 38 and coming back from Tommy John's. But, yeah, Murphy just shows that he's a master manager at times.
That Miley thing really annoys me. He wanted to come back for peanuts, and they didn't bring him back. That one bothered me, to be honest with you.
You know, you know what? I bet you it bothered Murphy, too. You know where that decision lies.
Yeah.
The owner and the GM.
Mike Clemens, always good stuff. enjoy your first weekend back after a couple of weeks, and we'll catch you next week.
We got 8 inches, and I'm still not done with the snowblower.
Hey, thanks again, Mike.
Thanks, Jed.
Mike Clemens, our Civic Media sports reporter. We'll take a timeout. Be right back here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's a high school basketball doubleheader as the Marathon Red Raiders host the Phillips Loggers in both boys and girls basketball. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 5:30. The boys tip off at 5:45, followed by the girls. And you can hear all the action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Marathon Basketball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Marathon Park City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, The People's State Bank, Marathon Cheese, The Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. It's Marathon hosting Phillips in both boys and girls basketball. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 5:30 on your home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Home show 98.9 WXCO. I want to talk for a few minutes about, again, the norms in government and doing the right thing. And I one reason why I was feeling a little bummed yesterday, when you go on social media and you see people that you connect with, it's for different reasons, and often it's not because you're thinking politically the same, but when you see them put out stuff that is just so wrong, that shows again the mega sympathies, and thinking, why are you behind this? And one thing I've talked about over the last 3 weeks is the number of different instances where the Trump administration have done things that would have been outrageous in the past, that were, that basically led to the downfall of Nixon back in the 1970s, worse than Watergate. And again, I've talked about the Saturday night massacre during the Nixon administration, when he fired, when he got basically to, had to fire, he wanted to fire the special counsel Archibald Cox, tried to get the attorney general to do it. He didn't. So he resigned, tried to get the assistant attorney general to do it. He resigned. Then finally, a man that later became a name that would pop back up in the 1980s, Robert Bork, the solicitor general, did do the duties and fire Archibald Cox. It led to outrage. It led to television special reports, wall-to-wall coverage, letters and calls to the White House. We're seeing that every single day right now in the Trump administration. And the latest is this totally outrageous situation when it came to the New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Eric Adams was indicted on multiple felony corruption charges last September. The charges arising out of influence peddling, in which Adams is alleged to have done favors for the Turkish government, included counts of bribery, fraud, and soliciting foreign campaign donations. 4 days ago, however, the Department of Justice, under the Trump administration, instructed the U.S. attorney in New York to drop the charges against Adams. The reason for doing so was pretty transparent and pretty corrupt. The Trump administration wants Adams to provide city resources to help it round up and deport immigrants. No doubt, throwing some into the concentration camps it's building and starting to populate. An explicit quid pro quo with no regard whatsoever to the actual merits of the case against Adams. Again, complete corruption. Again. So, Trump ordered this to happen. Adams had been showing signs of cozying up to Trump. But after the DOJ said drop these charges, for 2 days nothing happened. There was something going on there. And it turns out that Danielle Sassoon, the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, had been the one ordered by DOJ officials to drop the charges. Rather than do that, however, a profile in courage, she resigned, writing her reasons in a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi. She said, "I have always considered it my obligation to pursue justice impartially, without favor to the wealthy or those who occupy important public office, or harsher treatment for the less powerful. I therefore deem it necessary to the faithful discharge of my duties to raise the concerns expressed in this letter with you and to request an opportunity to meet to discuss them further." Didn't matter. The Trump administration wanted this done, and it was done. And the thing about this is, Sassoon is not some left winger. This is a conservative, a member of the Federalist Society, a person who clerked for Scalia, a far right lawyer. I mean, a man named Emil Bovey III, the acting deputy attorney general. This Bovey, after Sassoon resigned, wrote an insane letter accepting her resignation while simultaneously berating her for not being properly loyal to, you think maybe the law? No, not being properly loyal to Donald Trump.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
And then he's further said he was suspending Sassoon's former deputies at the Southern District and investigating them too. Corruption every single day of this new administration. When are we going to get a Saturday night massacre type response out of the media and out of the American people? Pure corruption.
It's unacceptable.
8:58 is the time. Coming up, news update, as we have at the top of every hour. And then second hour of the show, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.